Amen. Come on, give God a little more praise. Thank you, Lord, for moving in our lives already. Have your way in every one of our hearts, I pray today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said a big amen. So make sure you get a few of these. Don't waste them, but take them. Every Christian is called to evangelize. Every single one. You are called to, and it's easy. Just invite them. It might cost you a cup of coffee. Although I did hear that Uncle Bruce and Aunt Peggy are going to be doing the table out there on next Sunday. So you can bring them here. Coffee will be free. The goodies will be free. Just reach out. You'll never know how much that will mean to somebody's heart and to somebody's life. And I asked Sam, but she didn't want to do it. Do we have any Steeler fans here this morning? Any that are brave? We got one. Dorothy? No, that's not your. Oh, that's Tim up there. All right, ushers, take care of that young man. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding with you. Listen, don't shout more for the Bills today than you do for Jesus right now. Let's just try that one more time. Don't shout more for the Bills today than you do for Jesus right now. That's great. And today is also National Grandparents Day. So all the grandparents, how many grandparents do we have here today? Let me see your hand. Awesome. Call your grandkids up, bless them, encourage them, slip some cash in their pocket, tell them how much you love them, and pray for them as well today. I want to talk to you just on this, and I'm only going to be a few moments, and then we'll take communion together about what I started last week on the thought of being shaken. It's the recipient of an unpleasant experience to feel shocked and upset, unable to think calmly or clearly. In our verse of scripture for this little mini-series that I'm doing is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. He says, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. And I just want to commend those who stepped out of your comfort zone this morning. Maybe some that have never walked to an altar in a church before, and you came here. That's because God was speaking to you. And when you respond to it, he adds an incredible blessing to that. For those of you, you know, sometimes when I prayed for those that receive Christ, many hands went up, but I could see on some of the Christians that have seen me do this 100 times, it wasn't as exciting for you as it has been. And that needs to change in every one of our hearts, because the angels in heaven rejoice, the Bible says, over one sinner that repenteth. Now, why are the angels rejoicing at that? They're rejoicing because God, his Son, and the Holy Spirit have created just an incredible party for one person that says in their life, I'm going to turn from walking this way, and I'm going to start walking this way. They give their lives to Jesus. So never let that get diluted in your life. You know, to make you so excited when you hear about somebody giving their heart to Jesus. Nothing is more powerful than when that happens in a person's life. Hebrews, again, 12:25, don't refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, back again in Exodus 19, Mount Sinai, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. That's what happened in the house this morning. He was speaking to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all creation will be shaken and removed so that the only unshakable things will remain. I'm going to talk to you about what is unshakable in our lives. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. For God is a devouring fire. We, our land, our, you know, everywhere around us, we've been in a season of being shaken like maybe we haven't seen ever before in our generation. With COVID, with the pandemic, I was talking to a pastor friend just a couple days ago, and Somebody in his church had a family come from Texas, came into the family. The whole family got COVID, but before they knew how sick they went to church that Sunday. The pastor and his wife both got it, and 20 people in their church got it, and 3 of those people died. You want to talk about a shaking? You want to talk about something going on? I talked last week about the fires, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, and all of this that is taking place that creates pressure in our lives, and it reveals what is inside of us. This weekend, I just found myself kind of just shedding tears off and on all day yesterday, thinking about 20 years ago, the remembrance of 9/11 and how it hurt us. And if you didn't know somebody that was involved in it, you knew somebody that knew somebody that had lost their lives, or a first responder of some sort that went in, gave their lives. My brothers and my sisters, never forget the ripple effect that happened in that. And I pray for all of our young people, the kids that weren't even born at that time, that if the school is not going to teach them about something to remember the importance of the country and the values that some of those people that had no idea when they were running into a building that was going to fall down, those same people gave their lives selflessly so that you and I could live the way we live today. And our kids, they need to know that. They need to hear that. They need to, when they see a police officer, they need to go up, shake their hand, tell them, thank you. We don't need nothing. We don't have to run away from them. We need to honor and respect our policemen, our firemen, all those first responders. Thank God for them. Amen? Come on this morning. And, you know, as I'm thinking about this week, I was reminded of a statement that I heard years ago. This preacher used it, but it was actually quoted by a philosopher, Aristotle. He said, nature abhors a vacuum. In other words, nature dislikes when things are taken from us. And nature tries to fill that what has been taken with whatever possibly it can. And I want to just say to you today that if you are going through shaking, if you have lost something in the middle of shaking, don't go and fill it up with just anything so that you feel good about yourself because of the loss that you have incurred. Some of the things that God has shaken off of your life and off of my life need to be gone. We don't need them, and we don't need to fill them with other things. You know, the statistics of this last year and a half have been so amazing, where the increase of drug use, the increase of alcohol, the increase of divorce, the increase of just the mental strain, where some people are trying to fill that emptiness with something that God said, wait a minute, I shook that off of you so you wouldn't go back and pick it up again. And we try to do those things in our own strength, but God, his intention is always to lead us to better and to lead us on. And as hard as those moments and that we go through in our lives, God helps us to be separate from some things that were never to be a part of us in the first place. That's good preaching. I'm preaching to me right now. And in Acts chapter 16 is this tremendous moment in Scripture that you and I can learn so much about. Paul is on his second missionary journey. He meets Timothy, who he calls a son of the gospel. And the Scripture tells how God is leading him. And also in one of the verses, in verse 7, that God is leading him to go share the gospel all over. That it says the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow him to go to this certain place in verse 7. Kept him from that, but yet allowed him to go to where I'm going to read to you today and allow him to go through what he went through. Sometimes we go through things and, you know, we just say, oh God, where are you? If you were who you say you were, I would never be going through this. I want you to pause right there. And I want you to think about that as I read this in Acts 16, and I'm going to pick it up at verse 16. Once when we were going to a place of prayer, and I love that, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting. Listen to what she shouted. She said, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept us up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and he said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her." And the Bible says at that moment, the Spirit left her. In verse 19, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Here's the shaking. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and they are throwing us, are sitting into an uproar and advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and with magistrate and the magistrates order them to be stripped. That means to be naked, stripped and beaten with rods. And they had been severely flogged, they were thrown in the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Naked, beaten, bloody, sitting in dirt where there's feces and everything else. There they sit. And about midnight, and we always just read this, we forget to read what comes up to this. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and they were singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and at once the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose, and the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword. Roman, that was the law, that if you lost him, you'd take your own life. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped, but Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're still here." And I love to read the rest of the story because it goes on to say how he led the jailer and his family to Christ. And then the people that put him in jail said that they could go. And Paul, he said, "Oh, no, you're not getting out of this. So we're going back to where you flogged us. And you're going to tell everyone who saw what you did to us that you were wrong." And the Bible says, and then they left town. But I just love that. Paul and Silas, They had to learn something, how to engage and how to stay strong and survive the shaking. So the number one is stay engaged with God. And this is so important because at that moment, you can run, you can hide, you can say, "What's the use?" But the Bible says, and I love how the Message says that Paul and Silas were at prayer and they were singing a robust hymn to God. Paul and Silas had to stay engaged in their course. In order to stay encouraged, they had to take their energy and not focus on where they were or what was happening in their life, but they had to focus on the same God who was leading them and guiding them to get to where they got. And isn't this where we get messed up sometimes? Because we get in this place and we're going through the shaking and we forget that God's still with us. Because the Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. He doesn't run when you're going through trouble, and he doesn't expect you to run from him when you are facing that trouble. What he expects from you and I is for us to stay engaged in the process, and when the shaking comes, let what shouldn't be with us come off and be gone, and stay with God, stay engaged, and watch him do a miracle in your life. Come on, if you're going to clap, clap for Jesus. Paul and Silas teaches us you got to have a song and a prayer in your heart all the time. Number two, shaking will validate whose you are. The Bible says that in the early chapter of verse 16, that Paul and Silas spread the gospel, but they ran into this problem. The Bible calls her a slave girl possessed with a spirit. And if you look at what that spirit, that wasn't just... And some people think that anything that's supernatural, that God is attached to. Can I tell you something? This was an evil spirit. And I want to tell somebody here today, and I told you a story a few weeks ago that a few years, somebody came in and said, Pastor Marty, you know, psychic fair is going on. I said, yeah, I've been praying against it. We went to it, and the people told us things that nobody else knew. And I said, that was an evil spirit. That was a demonic spirit. And when you open your life up to that, it not only comes into your life, let me tell you something, it comes into your home, and it'll come into your family, and it'll permeate throughout your whole household and a generation yet to come. Run from it. Pray against it, and don't let that into your home ever. I'm preaching to you this morning. I'm feeling it. The Bible says she followed Paul and the rest, and she was shouting, these servants are of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Just because it sounds good does not mean it is good. He turned around, and he spoke to that spirit. The Bible, if you look into what kind of spirit, it's called a python spirit because it worships many gods. Let me just insert this. This isn't in my notes, but I read it last week. There is no other name above heaven and earth whereby we must be saved, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. There is no other way to heaven but through him. And our job is to be aware and to have the right attitude that when we are going through a shaking, that we don't allow this other stuff to come into our lives. Don't let it be a part of you. Because God wants to validate the fact that you are his, and whatever you go through and you come out of, you give him all of the glory. Come on, can you say amen to that? Let me tell you something. You've got to learn to elevate your praise and your worship in the middle of your shaking. You got to do like Mrs. Edwards did on that little video. You got to turn on whatever you bump to. Make sure you're bumping to Jesus and not bumping to somebody else. But let your praise go to another level in that moment. And then number three, the shaking doesn't last forever. Come on, can you say amen to that? Sooner or later, you're going to come out of that. The shaking just comes to remove some things that you have allowed in your life to attach from you that God just wants rid off of your life. Let him do it today. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1 that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And I was writing this down and going over the notes yesterday, and it came to this point, and I felt God speak to me, and it's for somebody that is here this morning, that he's already, like he was with Paul and Silas, before they were locked up in the prison, God already had a release date for them. He already had a plan that they were going to come out. And for somebody, he's got a release plan for you that's already happening. You're coming out of that shaking. You're coming out of that pain. You're coming out of that loss. You're coming out of that brokenness. You're coming out of the loneliness. You're coming out of feeling discouraged and depleted. You're coming out of that today. He's working on that in your life. And sometimes when you go through things, you got to realize that it wasn't God, it wasn't you that helped you, that it was the Lord himself. Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths fall and faint and are weary, and young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait upon the Lord. Come on, somebody. He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they will not faint. This is unshakable. When you're in a midnight season, you got to sing a song. You got to pray a prayer that will shake the gates of heaven and get God's attention and watch him bring the release that you need in your life at the moment that you need it. Come on, who is here today that is receiving from the Lord? Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus right now. Honey, come on up. Debbie, come on up. Let's prepare to receive communion together this morning. This is such a beautiful moment for everybody. This is a moment where God can touch your body, heal your body. heal your mind, strengthen you. This whole time, this whole service together this morning has been created for healing and restoration in every life that is here. Those that are watching online at home, if you haven't already done so, get some bread, get some juice, get something that we can partake in communion together. And if you did not receive a cup this morning and you want one, put your hand up real high in the air. So if Becky didn't get one, right down the front here too. Amy, Micah over here. Come on, boys. Anybody else? Put your hand up real high. Beautiful. He took the bread. Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he gave thanks. He said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. As often as you eat it, remember me." Thank you, Lord. What a monumental day this has been for so many. Lord, we praise you. And I thank you, Lord, for giving your life that we can live. He says, as often as you eat it, remember me. Lord, we remember you today as we partake together. Let's all eat this bread. Thank you, Lord. He took the cup. He said, "This is the New Testament, my blood, to be poured out for many. The remission of sin," Isaiah says that he was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we have been healed. For some of you, when you partake in this morning, healing is going to touch your body. Praise you, Lord. We remember you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary. Let's drink together. Spirit of the living God, how we praise and thank you today for the kindness that you've shown each and every one of us. I pray for those that are here and those that are watching online at home. I pray peace over them. I pray strength. I pray hope. I pray life and love to each and every one. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Man, I sure love you. I love coming to church with you, and I look forward to this next week. On your way out, get a couple of these, pray. Who would God have you to invite next week? We're going to have a great time. Great time today in God's house. Amen. Come on. I love you. Make sure you love on one another on your way out today. Go in his grace. We love you.